Today we're going to be talking about the matter of forgiveness. I've had multiple questions come in about forgiveness, and so I'm going to try to compile them into one discussion. Now, as I've commented before on some of the other subjects that have come up, entire volumes have been written about particular subjects, and forgiveness is one of those. And so in 30 minutes, all I can really hope to do is hopefully give, prayerfully give, a biblical overview to it. And so we'll be looking at that this morning. The questions were from all ranges, but say someone commits an atrocity against you. Someone murders someone that you love. Do we have to forgive? The question even was, will it keep us from going to heaven if we don't forgive? There's questions about forgiveness yet keeping boundaries. What do we do with family and friends and others? Do we have a right to set boundaries? Where does repentance factor into this whole thing? And that's probably a subject I'll return to at another time. But all of these things involved in forgiveness. And so I want to pray, and then we will dive into this, this challenging but critically important subject. Heavenly Father, even the mention of the term forgiveness probably brings faces and names to mind. And this can be challenging this morning as we wrestle through this critically important thing, as we try to resolve in our minds and our hearts the things that you have said. At the end of the day, may we say, not my will, but yours be done. And so I surrender the time in your word. I pray that the things that we read and discuss from Scripture would be your thoughts that come out this morning. And I just surrender this to you as I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to look at this in two ways. I want to look at what forgiveness is not, and then we're going to look at what forgiveness is. And maybe it's backwards, but nevertheless, it's too late now. So what forgiveness is not? And there are several things that I want to bring out here. They're all biblical, but some of them are, you can point to a scripture and verse. Others are a little more just logic. But first of all, forgiveness is not optional. We have to know that. Forgiveness is not optional. And I want to direct our thoughts, first of all, to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And this may be where one of the questions came from, as Jesus makes a very, very blunt statement in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. He says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ouch. That's direct. That is blunt. So to answer, do I have to forgive? The answer is yes. It is not optional. And when we look at the extremeness of this, if we do not forgive, Heavenly Father will not forgive us those trespasses. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, which this is part of, Jesus has mentioned this multiple times. He's talked about retaliation, revenge. He's gone so far, and we would look at him many times and say, we wouldn't say it out loud, we'd say, this is kind of nutsy. If someone smites you on the cheek, turn the other one. talking about an insult, not a violent attack. But that is so contrary to our thinking and our reasoning and our way of doing things. In the pattern prayer, he just gave it to his disciples, teach us how to pray. And in that, he said, part of it is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Just like we forgive our debtors. That's dangerous, isn't it? And then he comes to this. So is he saying if you don't forgive, you won't go to heaven? Now, some people have made that statement. They say this is a sign of unbelief that no one who has been redeemed by Christ could have this kind of an unforgiving attitude. I disagree with that. Now, it could be a sign of unbelief, but I think that Jesus had something greater in mind than that. There are several factors that go into this, and I'm going to just run through a few things to think about in regards to this. I believe in Scripture, and I'm not going to go to the mat over this one. I won't fight about it. But I believe in Scripture there is a distinction between sin and sins. I think there is a distinction made between that black blanket that covers humanity and keeps us separated from God, where, as in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Paul told the Corinthians that God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. There is that which is all of humanity is guilty of. It covers us. It's a scourge that keeps us separated from God and would keep us separated from God forever had not he intervened and sent his son into the world to be our Savior. And as Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished. The debt has been paid." All of that scourge and separation I have done away with. To all who believe in him now, he gives the right to be called the children of God. And that's the beautiful thing of God's gift to us and how he conquered this thing that would have damned us forever. But when you came, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you came to him, I doubt there was anyone of us that said, well, I confess this sin and 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 this, we would still be going if we would have done that. But rather, we understood that if we confess our sin, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so at that moment in time, aware of our sinfulness and our separation from God, we just said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need you. Would you make me your own? Would you cleanse me? And that's what he does. But then comes maintenance. And every day we have those things, and almost always we know when we've been unkind to someone. We know when our attitude has stunk to high heaven. We know when we've been unfaithful at work. We know when our behavior and our language has not been consistent with the nature of Christ. And as he makes us aware of those, we have that responsibility then to bring that, to confess our sin to him. So I don't, is that coming, is that clear at all, making any sense? That there's that sin that has crushed mankind, and then that daily maintenance that needs to take place. It's like when Jesus was washing his disciples' feet, and he got to Peter, and Peter said, oh no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you won't have any part of me. Okay, well, then give me a whole bath. Well, you don't need a whole bath because you've already been cleansed. You have trusted in me, but you do need your feet washed. And that's us every day. And so there's If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is nothing that can separate you from His love. Nothing. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are His. But I do believe He's telling us here. It's like we talked about last week. If you fail to forgive, you're going to answer for it. There will be an accounting. That's what we talked about last week. There's going to be an accounting. It won't affect whether you go to heaven or not, but there will be a loss of rewards. There will be an accounting. And I think that's the warning that Jesus is giving here. Now, something else I would mention is that this particular word, in my translation, it's trespasses. Some translations actually use the word sins here. It's a different Greek word than would be used, say, in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned, which meant you've missed the mark. In fact, you haven't even been in the same universe as hitting the mark of God's holiness. This is a different word here, and it actually speaks of literally a misstep, a relatively minor infraction. Somebody cut you off in traffic. Somebody hurt your feelings when they made fun of you for something. Something relatively minor. This is not talking about the sin that separated us from God initially. And so I think Jesus is saying here, listen, guys, you've got to loosen up. You've got to stop wearing your feelings on your sleeve. You've got to stop being offended at every single thing that somebody says or does. And just embrace the mind of Christ and maintain his air of humility and forgiveness. Forgiveness is not optional. This ought to tell us that. Bottom line, an unforgiving heart will severely affect our intimacy with the Heavenly Father, and it will stymie our spiritual growth. And I think that's what he's getting to here. But know this, forgiveness is not optional. Number two, forgiveness is not conditional. And I'd like you to turn over to chapter 18 of Matthew. It's in the context of people sinning against you and how to handle all of that. Then Peter, in verse 21, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, the Jewish people understood that there was kind of a perfection to the number seven. And so Peter, patting himself on the back, almost breaking his arm in doing so, saying, boy, am I doing good. I got seven times and I've got it nailed here. And there's also, you know, that certainly has to exhaust anybody's patience. If I do that seven times, then I get a chance to retaliate. And God, the Son, just blew that completely out of the water. No, not seven. 70 times seven. And it was never going to be about, okay, I've done it. See, 15, 20. It's never about the counting. It's understanding God's grace is limitless. Ours should be too. It's not conditional. It's not how many times someone wrongs us. And it's not about the degree of wrong. There are some atrocities that take place, unthinkable things, and yet the command is the same. It's not optional, it's not conditional, and Jesus would have us know that. A third thing that forgiveness is not is that forgiveness is not a cure-all. Now, hear me when I say this, because you forgive because he said to forgive doesn't mean that the one you're forgiving is going to give a hoot. It doesn't mean they're going to respond at all. It doesn't mean that they're going to come back to me, to you, and say, no, it was me. Please forgive me. It is not a cure all. In Romans chapter 12, Paul is in a discussion like this, and he makes a number of interesting and shocking statements. Our target is verse 18, but starting in verse 14, it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with those who, with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But that verse 18 just puts this all in its proper context. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. But every one of us knows and has people in our lives that it has not been possible to live at peace with. But he's saying you cannot control them, but you can control your own attitudes, your emotions, your response to them. So know that forgiveness is not just going to cure everything, but this is a response before God and between us and God, understanding it's not optional, it's not conditional. And I'm going to do my part regardless of what anyone else does. Now, for forgiveness to run full circle, there has to be repentance. And repentance begins with a change of mind, a change of thinking. And in a situation like this, someone that has hurt you might not think they did a thing wrong, and they'd do it again in a heartbeat. And it would mean then to change the mind about that. I did wrong someone. I did act inappropriately. And I need to seek forgiveness. And then repentance gets carried into the way that we conduct our lives, that there's a change of direction. We've been going one way, we're going to go the other instead. And for forgiveness to run a full circle, that's got to be involved. But it still doesn't change our responsibility in it. Number four, forgiveness is not the same as trust. And sometimes we misunderstand that. Trust is something that when it's violated has to be rebuilt, and sometimes that takes time. But while that's happening, we still have the responsibility to forgive. Trust and forgiveness are not the same thing. Proverbs 25:19 said it like this, like a broken tooth or a lame foot is relying on the unfaithful in a time of trouble. There's got to be something proven. There's got to be something rebuilt. There's got to be a new course of action. And so we learn to trust again, perhaps, in a best case scenario. Sometimes it may never happen, but that does not affect the fact that we are to forgive. And this is where boundaries come in. Sometimes, you know, if a spouse has been unfaithful, you can't just pick up. There's got to be some change that's made. If someone has been consistently dishonest or has stolen from you, there's got to be a time of approving, of correction. And so understand that forgiveness is not the same as trust. And then finally, in this, forgiveness is not permissiveness. Now, we looked at Romans 12:18 that said, you know, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. But sometimes we are kept from forgiving because we think, for instance, it's going to remove consequences from somebody that did us wrong. And that hurts our sense of justice. And this is one of those times we would love to go back to Old Testament times, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And all that ends up with is a bunch of blind and toothless people. You know that. Forgiveness does not remove consequences, legally, socially, and certainly not before God. And it comes to this place, do I trust him? He said, vengeance is mine. I will take care of it. I will. Can you trust me in it? But forgiveness does not remove consequences. It certainly doesn't excuse the behaviors and, oh, they didn't mean it. It won't happen again. It's not pretending that the wrong hasn't happened, just sweeping it under the rug. And it's certainly not suggesting you allow the wrong to continue. But forgiveness is this thing that happens between us and God, where we're saying, I don't feel like it, I don't want it, but I'm going to obey you in it. So forgiveness is not optional, it's not conditional, it's not a cure-all, it's not the same as trust, it is not permissiveness. Now, what is forgiveness? The biblical definition of forgiveness is letting go. It really is. At the root of it all, there is both in Old Testament and New Testament, there's this sense of release. Frozen becomes your theme song. Let it go, let it go. Not to be trivial. This is hard. But this is it. It is this release. There's a sense as well of being willing to release a debt against you, canceling out a debt. To put it in monetary terms, somebody owes you $100 and you know you're never going to get it back from them. You just know it. And so you just say, they don't owe me anymore. I'm releasing that debt. But this is done on a whole nother level with forgiveness, a whole nother subject matter here when we just are willing to give it up to God and let him have it. There is this beautiful picture in Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus can be a tough book to get through. I say that. But there's this picture of the Day of Atonement for the people of Israel. And one of the things that they were to do on that day was they were to take a goat and they would bring it before the whole congregation of Israel, and they would symbolically transfer the sins of the whole nation of Israel upon that goat. It couldn't happen for real, of course, but it was so that they could understand what's actually happening. They would symbolically transfer the sins of the people on this goat, and then someone would lead it out into the wilderness, completely out of sight, somewhere where it could never return again, and would release it, let it go into the wilderness, never to be seen again. And that's the idea behind forgiveness. It is letting go. It is releasing that wrong, that atrocity, that hurt. And there's several areas that this would not be exhaustive by any means. Several areas in which this would be true. It would be releasing the right of retaliation. Again, our own sense of justice, you got to pay. You have got to pay. You know, when a lady in our community was assaulted recently, I had really, really bad thoughts towards the perpetrator. It went through my mind. And that's kind of that's our response to justice. But again, eye for eye, tooth for tooth does not end up well for anyone. And we are giving up our right to get revenge. We are giving up our right to hurt them back, to let them know how we feel. Forgiveness is releasing the right of restitution. Understanding they may never come back to us and say they're sorry. They may never come back to us and ask for our forgiveness. and we're releasing that right. We're not going to live under that expectation that they have to do this. It even is a releasing of the right of resentment. We would think, surely I have a right to seethe. Surely I have a right to be angry and resentful and bitter. But it's even a release of that, and it's an invitation for the Lord Jesus to come in and heal our hearts when it seems so impossible. But he can, and he does, and he will. It's releasing that right even for resentment. Now, like I said, this is probably just scratching the surface, but this is some of what forgiveness is. It is letting go. Another thing that forgiveness is, it is an act of the will. It is not first an emotion. It's an act of the will where we are, whether we feel like it or not, and we probably won't, it is that willingness to say, I forgive. It's that willingness to let it go and put it in the hands of our God who judges righteously. One of the things that always comes up, well, I just don't feel like it. I can't do it. Well, you can. You actually can. And it may just seem like words at first, but it's an act of the will. I choose to forgive so-and-so. You can't wait for the emotion. The emotion may come by God's grace. It may not. But as an act of the will, we have to say, I'm going to obey the Heavenly Father here. He knows best, and I choose to forgive. It is an act of the will. And third, forgiveness is based on the example of Jesus. And this is where it all has to come down to. Now, this is stated multiple times, multiple ways throughout the scripture. But I would refer you to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Verse 31 to start with, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I don't think we have the capacity to know the depth of our own depravity and how we defiled the will of God, the character of God, just by our own sinfulness. I don't think we can ever know that, but you know that it was so bad that God had to send his only son into this world to die for us. That was the only way that could be resolved. And no one will ever, ever injure us as we had injured the mind and the character of God. So he's not asking us to do something that he has not already done himself. Forgive as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is the example that we have for us. So that scratches the surface on this critically important matter. You know, hopefully it's something for us to think about. I recently rewatched the movie that told the story of Bart Millard, the lead singer from Mercy Me. And it was the story behind the song, I Can Only Imagine. That was the title of the movie. Some of you have seen it. Bart Millard grew up in a terrible situation. His dad was extremely abusive. His mom then just didn't know what else to do, so she ran and left the family. And even as Bart grew and became part of a band and they were out there trying to do God's work, he had this anger, this thing that was going on inside of him, and he couldn't get past it. unbeknownst to him, God had been doing a work in his dad over the years. And Bart went home to kind of try to face all this one time. And his dad was trying to make amends to, as best he knew how. And Bart was having none of it. And there was a line in the movie anyway where his dad said to him, if God can forgive everybody else, why can't he forgive me? And his son looked at him and he said, God can, but I can't. And that began a wrestling match then between Bart and his loving Heavenly Father. And you might guess who won. Later, Bart was able to write in his journal, I choose to forgive my father. And out of that eventual surrender came a story of beauty and grace. What he had described his dad as a monster became a man that he admired. He actually became his best friend, he said. Now, not all stories end that way. They don't. I wish they did. But God does not tell us to forgive because he's mean. He doesn't tell us to forgive to give us an impossible goal. He does it so we can live. Whether Bart Millard's dad would have turned to Christ or not would not have changed the fact that from that moment on, Bart was free. And that's what God has for us. He has freedom. He has life. He can unchain us from our past hurts and failures. We just need to learn to check our baggage. Would you bow with me? As I said earlier, it would almost be impossible that throughout this time there haven't been names and faces that have been flitting across your mind. And God's telling you right now, you need to forgive. Will you do that? We do business with God as an act of your will. I forgive. Lord Jesus, we come before you as needy people. We can't do this on our own. But by your grace, we want to be able to live in the freedom that you have for us. And I'm praying for any wrestling matches that are going on right now. Help us as God in Christ has first reacted to us and responded to us, that we would return that back to you. I just pray that you do whatever it is that you want to do in our body here today. It's no accident that we're here. So I surrender each of us to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Will you stand? There was a moment in my life when someone very close to me, I needed their forgiveness. I made a series of decisions willfully, and I needed forgiveness I thought I would not get. And the pain in my heart, if this person had said they weren't going to forgive me, made me really understand God's purpose and his will and his requirement of forgiveness. This person did forgive me. And the relief and the great witness of God's, the great witness of Jesus in this person was this person overcame themselves to forgive me. And so I forgive because I recognize my own need for a forgiveness I thought I would never get. It's so important to understand the freedom in Jesus and to choose His will, His ways, and to forgive.
Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor You.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit lives within me because You died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Sing it. You were forsaken. Yes, I'm accepted. You were condemned. Oh, I'm alive and well. Your Spirit lives within me because You died and rose again. How amazing! Amazing love. Joy to us.